Hey, this is Danny from 1 Minute Podcast Tips, the show that helps you be a better podcaster in just a minute a week. And you're listening to Pods Like Us.
Hello and welcome to Pods Like Us. I'm Martin Crabell, known to my friends as Marv, and this time I'm speaking with Danny Brown from 1 Minute Podcasting Tips. Hey, thanks for speaking with me today, Danny.
You're very welcome, Marv, and I'm glad you said I'm called Marv as opposed to Martin, because I was thinking, it's Marv that I know you by from your show. So there, yeah, I'm good, thank you. You're well.
Yeah, I'm fine, yeah. So before we start, the most recent episode, because this is going to come out in a good few weeks, because to pull the curtain away, I'm about 4 episodes ahead. But the latest episode that came out, I found really interesting of your show, because you were talking about, and I'm doing exactly the same now, and I always do, where I'm talking across the microphone, because you were talking about how if you talk straight directly into it, you'll get a lot of pops.
And a lot of proximity effect. And if your mic's not great at proximity effect, you can often get clipping where it's really hard to fix in post-production and editing. Yeah, that was one of my favorite episodes that I've done recently. But I do like audio quality. I like listening to a podcast. It's got good audio quality. And I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to understanding lufts and all that stuff. So that was fun to do. I just actually, today, as we record this, published a video version that expands it a little bit. Same idea, but just expands it and shows your distance and all that stuff. So that was fun to do.
Yeah, because you were showing it as well, in an audio way, but I'm guessing in the video as well, you showed it in a visual way. You were changing the way that you were talking into the microphone. So you moved across to talk directly into the microphone and get closer. And it was showing the issues that you would have with sound doing that. And I thought it was really clever doing it that way and showing people how it changes according to where you are in connection to the microphone and the distance and everything.
Well, that's it. I mean, obviously the podcast is primarily an audio-only show, so it's really hard to visually, as you mentioned, it's super easy to say, okay, if I come back from the microphone, you can hear me now, I'm away from the mic and then come back in. You can hear that difference, but it's really hard to do that on audio unless you explain it, what you're doing and how you're doing it. And I thought that was the easiest way for an audio-only podcast to let listeners know the difference sound can be depending on your mic technique and placement, etc.
Yeah, I mean, what you've just said there, I'm already going on a tangent, but what you've just said there makes me think of like audio dramas, for instance, where they have to know how to use the microphone for those to be able to get, because you're basically trying to get a medium across without any visuals there and trying to explain it. And you do exactly the same in your show where you're trying to explain in an audio way how these things should be done or could be done to make you sound better.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I like about, so if I'm watching a DVD or a Blu-ray or whatever, and they have like a director's cut or a special bonus clip, etc. I love going behind the scenes and they show you how they did sound effects or special effects or anything like that, that as an audience participant, you don't really, that the best editor or the best, whether that's audio or video, makes you not realize you've just been privy to an editing, you know, solution in place. And the audio drama is a perfect example to get sound effects and ambience and all that stuff on top of what the voice actors are already doing to paint a picture within your head. That to me is like just that's a creme de la creme when it comes to editors, and kudos to anyone who can do that stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's your podcast listening history? How did you start listening to podcasts and when?
Yeah, I'm going to say probably 2012, 2013, probably before that, before I really understood podcasts. I mean, obviously podcasts before that, but before I really understood the medium, etc. But I did like listening to driving in the car to have something in the background that wasn't an audiobook. It would just be streaming from Apple or whatever. So I think probably then is when I really started listening to podcasts and really enjoying the medium. And that's kind of what led me to start in podcasting, 2017, I'm going to say, from a speaking point of view.
Okay, so what were you listening to back then that jumped out at you?
I'm going to say, be really boring answer, Serial was one of the first that attracted me. I did like a lot of stuff that Kevin Smith did. I felt he was a really good proponent of audio, the audio format. I'd also listened to sort of sports biographies. So yep. Ali, Tiger Woods, people that I really look up to as human beings as well as famous celebrities and sports celebrities. And hearing some of their stories that you may not have heard in normal interviews, etc. And they go a bit deeper with their own life and that. So that's the kind of stuff that I started listening to originally.
Yeah, that's a bit like, from a music point of view, me listening to a show where Steve Hogarth from Marillion, he chats with Ant Short, and they get Steve Hogarth's life, essentially, which you would never, ever get anywhere else. And that's fascinating to hear it from, well, in that case, the case that I'm on about, from the actual person themselves as well.
Well, I feel the great thing with podcasting, especially because even though you're speaking to many people, so you've obviously got many listeners that listen to the show, but it's still a very much an intimate listening experience, but it's still one-to-one. So you're speaking and one person is listening in their headphones, on their hi-fi at home, on the car or whatever. So because of that intimacy, I feel that when it comes to interviews and getting to know people that you're interviewing, that intimacy allows you to be more, feel more safe in the environment, as opposed to a journalist, and no disrespect to journalists whatsoever, but a journalist that might go along for an interview that's got 10 questions that they have to get out for the publication, and they have to stick to these questions because that's what the editor's given them. Whereas a podcaster has the opportunity to delve into whatever direction the conversation goes, bring it back if need be, but then just follow where the guest is going. And I feel that's their podcasting strength, really. Steve Hogarth's a perfect example.
Yeah, he is, because in that show, I don't know if you've listened to it yourself, the one that I'm on about, the Corona Diaries.
I haven't, no, I do know Steve Hogarth. Marillion's one of my bands from when I was growing up, so I do know him for sure.
Same. But they go off on a lot of tangents, but they also have a bit like we've got here. They have a structure or a set of things, points that they have to hit. But the thing that I love mostly with independent podcast, as opposed to ones that are like the big production ones, you find a lot of these tangents, which is where you get the most interesting anecdotes, essentially, where you've not actually arranged for them and they just come out of the blue. They're the sort of bits that are like, oh, that's interesting.
Exactly. And I feel that's why Graham Norton's one of my favorite interviewers on TV. I think he's always seen as a comedian, and he is a comedian, obviously, and he's been acting. But I feel as an out-and-out interviewer that actually respects his guests and allows them to be the star, he's untouched. And some of the best interviews I've seen with the Graham Norton Show are the ones, like, as you mentioned, Marv, where he's maybe started off with one question, but then depending on what the guest has said, it's like, oh, now we're off. Now we're on a tangent. We're going somewhere. Yeah. And it's like that little gotcha moment. It's like, yes, that makes this episode perfect.
But there with that, I'm going away from it again. But there with that, with Graham Norton, the interesting thing there is that because he started originally on Channel 4 with So Graham Norton, and he's got that backing where that was more, that's probably the closest, I think, that a chat show has got to this independent podcast thing that I'm on about, where he, even back then, he wasn't afraid to sort of like, when people would suddenly come up with things and most interviewers would just carry on and go with whatever the next question is, whatever. He sort of like hones in on these things and he thinks, there's something I can get out of that. And he sort of like pulls that. It's almost like having a little morsel of something and seeing how much you can pull apart from that and get from it.
No, exactly. And that's the sign of what makes a good podcaster versus, well, maybe not so much a good podcaster, that's an unfair statement. What makes a good host or interviewer, podcaster, as opposed to a podcaster, because they listen, they're not trying to look for the next question and how to jump in and interrupt the guest or whatever. They're listening to the conversation and really taking on board what the guest is saying and allowing them to go and go into that direction and getting more details. And who knows, maybe a really personal story is about to come out that you wouldn't have got otherwise had you stuck to these 8 or 10 bullet points that you have to get out, because that's what you put together pre-recording.
Yeah. I'm already going to go into the podcast advice thing now and say to people that that's it. If you're doing a show that's similar to this, or where basically it's just people talking, it's good to have these points that you want to hit if you've got a subject in mind, but you have to remember to keep listening and not keep rigidly to that list that you've got, and keep listening, because sometimes if you're not listening intently, you might miss something. And then when you listen back to the show, when you're editing it, I've had this before when I first started. I've got a lot better at it over the years, but when I first started, I know that I was so anxious and nervous and things, and I'd sort of like get on with it, that I'd miss these bits, and I'd go into editing and I'd think, oh, damn, how did I miss that? But you have to really pay attention, and those bits are the bits that I've always said are podcasting gold.
No, definitely. And I think that's a really good point that you make, where you might have missed something, because that leads to two end results. Is A, you could have really gotten very close to the guest and shared stuff that another podcast audience hasn't heard, yep, because that you didn't listen to that point. But also it can jar the conversation, because the guest could have said something really profound or personal to them, and you're coming back with a completely non-related question. And that, I feel that breaks the connection between A, the host, and B, the guest. And that comes across to the listener as well. Because now, as a listener, you're thinking, that just really jumped from one section. And as you say, it takes time and it takes practice, right? And it just takes speaking to more people and listening to podcasts who do a similar kind of show and saying, oh, I like his or her approach, I'm going to try that the next time.
But also, it's you get more comfortable with it the longer that you do it as well. So I think that helps, the more that you get used to it. I mean, most people, when they do a podcast for the first time, have probably got those nerves there that get in the way slightly.
No, definitely. I mean, I mentioned earlier, I did a video version of the episode. You mentioned my most recent episode. I hate video. I really don't like video, but I know it's like one of these necessary evils that helps to expand an audience and take you to new audiences. But when I record like that video I did today, it's only about 3 minutes, I think, in length.
Yeah.
But that 3 minutes, I ended up with like a 12, 15 minute recording, because I was just like stumbling into the points I wanted to make, etc. Even though I just created the episode from an audio point of view previously. So yeah, it does. It takes practice and not being afraid to say, okay, I messed up, I failed, but I'm going to do better next time. And this is how I'm going to do better.
Yeah, absolutely. So are these sort of things, is that how the show started then, that you were thinking of these points when listening to shows, and you were getting this sort of like understanding of how podcasts were put together from an outside point of view? And is that how you actually came up with the idea for the show, was all these things that you noticed?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a mixture. I mean, I work at Captivate as the head of podcast support and experience. So I'm helping people, our team's helping people every day with issues with their shows and their audio and all that kind of stuff. So I'm seeing a bunch of questions come over there, for example. Now, but then you see like in Facebook groups or Reddit or on Twitter, I can't call it X, it's going to be forever Twitter to me. But you see a whole bunch of questions come out from new podcasters, and then maybe getting not quite the right advice from experienced podcasters, because it's either they've either got a reason for giving that advice because they're trying to sell something, or it's just like incorrect advice that's out of date, that's all. So I was seeing all that, and the main thing that we were hearing, or I was hearing, sorry, is that oftentimes people want advice and need advice, but don't have the time to really allocate to sit down and watch a video for 2 hours or listen to a podcast series for 6 months or whatever it is to get the advice looking for. So I thought, okay, is there a way I can make really short, punchy tips that answer these questions and get right to it? There's no fluff, there's no intro or anything really. It's just basically the tip. And can I do that in a way that sort of stands apart from most other shows that do podcast tips? So that's where the 1 minute idea and getting a podcast tip in a minute a week, that's where that really came from.
Yep. But for those people that are listening that might not have heard the show before, you do occasionally go over that, but it's only when you need to, like this most recent one. That's actually quite a long episode for yourself at around 3 minutes. But even then, that's only because you needed to go into a bit more detail to explain, like we said, the mic positioning and all this. You needed to do that to be able to get the point across.
Yeah, and that was funny because I was thinking when I was editing afterwards, I saw this is like getting to a 3-minute episode, which still isn't a long, a big amount of time. Yeah. But when the premise of the show is like 1-minute podcast tips, 3 minutes, you're triple your episode length. So I was considering whether I should do a 2-part or one for a condenser mic and one for a dynamic mic. But then I thought, you know what? That's almost like a click and bait and forcing people to listen to one or the other. So I just wanted to, I'll put it out there. If people listen to 3 minutes, great. If not, then just as great.
Yes. So how long did it take you to nail the structure of the show? And what sort of research did you do leading up to the show?
Yeah, so the kind of nailing the format was fairly early on, and it tied into the research because I did want to check that were there any other podcasts like this? And I did see other 1-minute podcasts, but it wasn't 1-minute podcast tips. So I think there was one for 1-minute tips for Google Voice, something like that. And there's another show that was a 1-minute podcast, but it wasn't podcast tips, but that stopped in, I'm going to say 2018, 2019. And that was off a different topic anyway. So I knew there wasn't anything really out there that would have been doing what this show would be doing. And then from the research point of view, it was really making notes of what questions are being asked but aren't getting answered a lot. So in Reddit, for example, on our support team, is there a bunch of questions coming through that tend to pop up more than not? And is that something I can cover? So all that kind of stuff, we're just looking at what's been answered so far and is the show format viable? Because I didn't want to do the show if it wasn't going to be viable. If I couldn't get enough information across in 1 minute, it's pointless doing the show because I've not delivered on my promise to you as a podcaster, as a listener. And then I was surprised that you can actually get a lot of information over in 1 minute when you just focus on that one single thing, which I that did surprise me, I'll be honest. But yeah, it's from a format and a research point of view, it kind of came in fairly early. And now it's just ongoing research about what's the most popular questions that haven't really been answered a lot yet, or have been answered, but could be really truncated into a 1-minute section.
So it's not difficult at all then to get it down to 1 minute.
No, I was surprised. I mean, there are times, like you mentioned, there's been occasions where it's been like a 1:40 or a 1:50. And then this most recent episode, it's about 3 minutes. Although that does include the sort of intro and outro, which is like a 20, 25 second jango either side. But no, it's mainly about knowing what information I want to get over. Yep. And what I don't need to include in that episode. So for example, the mic technique one that you mentioned, I don't need to include using a pop filter because I've already spoken about that. Yep. I can refer to that in show notes, etc. So getting all that extraneous stuff out and just really focusing on what mic technique is, and here's the examples, and this is why it's important. It was fairly easy to get it down. Well, not this one, but no, it was fairly easy usually to get episodes down to 1 minute.
Hey, this is Chris from Podtastic Audio, the show that I have created to help you create your amazing podcast. And you are listening to Pods Like Us.
Hey, it's Rena, host of the Better Call Daddy show, where I interview guests, share the stories with my dad, and then he weighs in. And you're listening to Pods Like Us.
So how long does it take you to do the script then to get that down to that? And when you're doing the script, do you know, looking at it on paper, do you know how long that episode is going to last?
Yeah, I mean, the script, to be honest, because of the format of the show, it's very different from my other podcast, which is like a longer episode length. So I do have more notes for that and more research notes, etc. But for this one, I pick the topic. I'll make maybe 1, 2, 3 top bullet points of what I need to cover. And that's going to be the flow. So bullet 1, bullet 2, bullet 3, takeaway, and then out. So I can generally tell, and I'll run it over my head beforehand, I can generally tell how long the episode's going to be. And if it's over my proposed time of 1 minute, then I'll say, okay, maybe I can bring bullet point 3 into bullet point 2 and join them up that way and just try and make it that one single minute or as short as can be and get rid of all the fluff that doesn't need to be there.
Okay. So recording and editing then, what do you use to do that with?
So recording, I use Hindenburg Pro. So I use that to edit, I should say. Recording and editing, I use Hindenburg Pro, and I use Acusonus Era Bundle 6, which is kind of like Isotope RX when it comes to some audio tools. Acusonus got bought by Meta in 2020, I think, 2021. But the tool still works. I really like it. So I use that for any audio repair that I need to put in there. But yeah, it's primarily straight into Hindenburg Pro, do the editing, and then upload to the host.
Okay. And the music and the logo, how did they come about?
So the music is, I use Epidemic Sounds, which is like a copyright-free platform, or licensed platform, I should say, where you can, you pay more for the license, you can download music tracks, songs, sound effects, all that kind of cool stuff for your show. And I've been using them for about a year to 18 months now across various podcasts. Really like the quality of the content there and how easy it is to manage, etc. So that's where I use that. For this show, I just did my own logo on Canva. So I have a Canva Pro account, and I felt it was like just needed to be a really simple one. Make sure the name is big and bold. And I think this is the first one I've actually used my face on the artwork. Generally, I keep my face off. But I'd seen people like often preferring faces when it comes to podcast tips anyway, because they get to know the person behind that. So yeah, that was fairly straightforward on Canva. Tweaked it a little bit here and there. And then I used the overall show artwork as the basis for individual episode artwork. And all I'll do is I'll change up the episode numbers, that kind of stuff, and title.
Yeah, you do something very similar to what I do in my episode sometimes, where my logo, I've got a space in a corner somewhere where I can pop. I mean, mine's quite simple. All I will do is I will just pop their, whoever the guest is, their show artwork will, in a smaller way, be in the corner of mine. So, but you do something similar where whatever your show is about, usually you'll have like the actual title of the episode or what it's about actually there in the artwork for the individual episodes.
Yeah, and it's just experimentation. I didn't, for my couple of previous shows, I haven't really bothered with episode artwork or episode level artwork. But I guess with Apple supporting it with the last update they ran back in September last year, if you've got a big pro like Apple supporting it, it makes sense to at least have it, because you never know what the format and style is going to be like on podcast apps down the line. Is an individual episode artwork going to really take off and be a big focal point for episodes? Because that's what you're trying to discover on podcast app, is episodes, right? I know your show is the main thing you want found, but it's the episodes that drag people in. So you got to have some kind of weapon, if you like, to help you with that.
I mean, it's a big subject, that is, with episode artwork, because some people say that you need to change it according to what you're talking about. But I it's probably just a personal thing of mine, where it's something like, I find it with, I'm going to shout out to James Cridland now. Mm-hmm. With Podnews, where they do something really clever, where they will have different artwork for whatever their episode's about, something to do with that. But in the corner, you've always got the little Podnews symbol there in the corner. And that's something that I sort of like there, because sometimes, I think you're probably like myself, where you've got so many shows that you follow, it's really tricky, because you're swiping through to find what you want to listen to. And if each individual episode's got artwork that has nothing to do with each other, you might accidentally go past something, past a show that you love listening to, because the artwork's not the same. So that's why I like artwork to be similar from episode to episode. But I don't mind them having that little bit that's different, so long as they've got that ident that you can see. For me personally, that works as somebody who subscribes to shows.
No, definitely. And that's a really clever way of doing it, to ensure that the branding is there, then the recognition of that. I know this is Marv's show, I know this is James's show, etc. Doesn't matter if it's Pod News, Pod News Weekly, Pod Business, all that kind of stuff. It's all there, because you've got this umbrella brand, if you like, that's always there front and center. So that's a really neat way of doing it, to ensure that recognition's there. Recognition? Why did I say recognition? That's not a word, probably.
Editor. Let's see. And then, okay, so an important show moment that I've got on now on this list. What I mean by that is, Is there a certain point in the show's history where you thought that you'd maybe hit a good mark and that's where you got that exactly what you were after? Or is there a point in a moment in the show that you that really jumps out at you as one that you enjoyed? Either of those is an option.
Yeah, so I think with the show, I'll be honest, I didn't do a lot of marketing for 1 Minute Podcast Tips for the first, I'm going to say, 5 or 6 months of its life, which is not good on my behalf because I feel that's obviously a key thing that any podcaster should be doing. But A, life was in the way, really busy at work. We were working on some huge projects, etc. So I didn't put as much time as I should have for the first 5, 6 months. And then I've basically followed we help our podcasters to do with marketing campaigns, marketing ideas, etc. And I jumped into really start doing that in the summer. And you could tell immediately by the download stroke listeners, as well as like the listen through and the retention rate of episodes, that made a big difference. I went from, I don't know, something like 200 or 300 downloads per month, which isn't a huge amount, to averaging about within the space of 3 months, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 months. And I think I shared a screenshot on Twitter in August or September, maybe, where you can see the sort of little flat line of the show. Yep. For the first 5 months. And then from that moment where I really did it properly, I really went into the proper promotion, marketing, looking at my stats, looking at my, you know, what my listeners are preferring, et cetera. It just went up like that. And I feel at that point, because I was putting the effort in, I was obviously getting more listeners, which is great. But because of that, I was now getting more feedback and more supporters of the show as well, which is always nice. And that really, that I think that's the sort of tipping point, if you like, for me for that show. Yeah.
So would that be one of your top three tips then?
Yes. I always say, well, I don't always say, but I would recommend for every episode that you create, 20% of your time goes into the creation of the episode, 80% goes on continuing to grow it once it's been released. It's so key. I feel like a lot of podcasters don't have the knowledge of marketing, or maybe they do, but it's in a different medium and it might not be the right kind of marketing tactics for podcasting. So I feel that, yeah, marketing is so key because you have to have your show. Nobody's going to come and listen just because you published it, as was shown by my first 5 or 6 months. So yeah, you definitely have to market your show. Make sure just people know about it and deliver on what you're promising. That's key as well.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Dave Jackson from The School of Podcasting, a show that helps podcasters plan, launch, and grow their podcast. And you're listening to Pods Like Us.
Hello, Scoob Believers. This is DJ Scoob. From The Undiscovered Entrepreneur, a show that highlights brand new entrepreneurs that are just getting started in their entrepreneur adventure. And you're listening to Pods Like Us with my good friend Marv. Thank you.
What are your other tips then, since I'm asking?
Love to edit. Learn to edit and learn to enjoy it. I didn't edit for the first 2 or 3 shows I had out. I probably only started editing a year 18 months after that, and it's made all the difference. I go back and listen to some of these podcasts and it's horrible. I'm using a condenser mic in a completely bare room. It's got like really high ceilings. So I didn't know sound. I didn't know editing. I didn't know how to cut the fat. So it really, your episode, each episode is as good as it can be every time. So I would say editing would be something that every podcaster can learn. And it doesn't have to be a full production. You're not going to be worrying about audio dramas like that for your own show. Just tighten up spaces. Don't leave like 10, 15 second gaps in your audio. You don't have to remove all the ums and nahs. That's a natural progression.
Yep.
But remove the ones out that don't need to be there. And just noises, like little noises. If you can remove them, then do that. It's just, it makes the listener experience that much better for your listeners. And I guess, again, just really understanding what makes a good podcast or what makes a good show. And that's, if it's a solo podcast, know your stuff that you're talking about and really get that across to your audience. And if it's an interview show, you mentioned it before, Marv, be a really, really good listener and be willing to go in direction that you hadn't planned for.
Yeah, because like we said, that's when you get the really interesting bits that nobody else has got.
No, for sure, exactly. And that, for me, that can define you as a good podcaster that attracts an audience, as opposed to a good podcaster that doesn't attract an audience because you've not put an effort in to make it a really good listening experience, whatever that looks like for your podcast.
Okay. So now that leads nicely into your own podcast listening. What sort of podcast do you listen to? And an interesting one would be podcasts that you listen to that have got this right.
So I have a very wide, like, listening preference. I don't sort of stick to niches. Like, I don't stick to true crime or podcasting shows or industry shows or audio drama or that. A lot of the time I get recommended shows that I should listen to because people know what I like to listen to and talk about, etc. Lately, I've been going back over a show I used to listen to a lot, and I think it's archived now, I'm not sure. I certainly took a pause in production, and that's called Just One Listen. And what I enjoy about that show, I don't know, have you listened to Just One Listen?
I've listened to a couple of episodes a few years ago now.
And I like the format, and he really nailed that as he progressed with that show, where Just One Listen, it would be a podcaster that's been in the industry about 10, 15 years, I think. And he would listen to your show and give you feedback, either good or bad, or a bit of criticism. He'd never really, what I liked about his show, he wouldn't like dump on you. He wouldn't make any kind of feedback bad. It was always constructive criticism, and it helped you improve your podcast. And I always enjoyed listening to that. I submitted one of my shows to that, and he listened to it. I didn't get the review on Apple because it didn't quite meet that 7 out of 10 grade that you had to get for him to leave a review on Apple for you. But the advice he gave me was really, really good about audio, etc. So I put that into effect, and that's really helped me become a better editor and appreciate audio, etc., following that feedback. So I love that. I do feel that the Fun Fact Friday with Leela and David is a really good show. I love how they essentially don't try to correct anything. They put the facts out there. They'll link to all these facts and they'll talk about them on the show. There's no, well, this is wrong, that's wrong, etc. And it's just a really fun thing. It's a dad and his 13-year-old daughter there. So because of that, the connection is really good. And the back and forth and the banter is amazing. So I enjoy that show for the approach and the format.
There's a lot of shows like that going around, actually, lately, where you've got parents and their children together doing shows. I mean, the one that came out of mine recently, Apples and Oranges, that's a father and son talking about the Beatles versus the Beach Boys. And then you've got, is it Me and Mini Me or something, where it's a mother and daughter, and the daughter's gone through cancer. But I mean, and that's that. I mean, so there's a lot of these shows now where it's something I was talking with Ariel about. Mm-hmm. People that listen that don't know, Ariel Nissenblatt, fantastic woman, incredible for the industry. But I was talking to her and saying to her that it's an area that I've seen where there's a lot of children, and by that I mean teenagers and even below, really young people that are getting into podcasting. And I think that's a really interesting thing that's coming now into podcasting.
Well, the cool thing is, I mean, the dynamic between a parent and a child is going to be awesome anyway. So you'd like to think that's going to set up a good format for the show. I feel with me, a lot of them as well came about. If one good thing came from the pandemic, it's the amount of new podcasts like this, I feel, that were started because people were looking for things to do. You had lockdown, schools were locked down, etc. So parents had to try help their kids more from either an education point of view, but then also just like their mental well-being and their health, etc. And that's led to, I believe that's where the David and like Leela podcast came about. Was it was in lockdown, they're thinking, what can we do? Let's do something fun for school. Let's find out fun facts. And now, so that became a show, Fun Fact Friday. It's now a 45 minute per episode where you've got like 10, 15 facts, etc. So I feel, and again, that's the beauty of podcasting. You can experiment. If it works, great. If it doesn't, try something different and continue that. I'd love to get my kids podcasting. They've shown no interest in it at the minute. And my son wants to be a YouTuber because he sees that's where all the dollars are, etc. But yeah, I think it'd be cool to do a podcast with your kids and have something as a legacy to look back on in a later life and say, hey, we did this and it was fun.
Yep. And carrying on or taking it a bit further than with something that you just said there, also don't be afraid that if it's not quite working and you're getting a bit tired of it yourself, there's nothing wrong with making slight alterations to your show.
No, for sure. I'm a huge advocate of, A, if it's not working for you, don't be afraid to say it's not working. Yeah. And either step back or, like you say, make tweaks and then change up the format, the length. I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons for Podfade is podcasters feeling that they have to put out content on a weekly basis because obviously that's what the show is about. But I feel listeners would be more supportive if you just say, hey, you know what? I love doing this. I love that you guys listen every week, but I can't keep doing this every week. It takes a lot of work, and it does take a lot of work. You know that. You've got the research, you've got the interview, and you've got the editing, everything. Then you've got promotion, and then you've got to repeat it next again week. So it does take a lot of work, and there's nothing wrong with recognizing that your health has to come first and either step back. I've closed podcasts before because I knew that I wasn't enjoying the format as much as I used to when it started, and I was worried about mailing it in then and starting to not really put as much research in or not listen to the guests as much, etc. And rather than do that, I thought, you know what? I'm going to step away. I might revisit this later down the line. If not, that's fine. I'll put a bonus episode out, say, thanks for all the fish, but I'm moving on to something new. If you enjoy this podcast, here's some other ones that you'd really enjoy, probably based on your preferences. So yeah, that's a really key point, Marv. Step back, evaluate, and put you first.
So thanks for speaking with me today for this. Thanks a lot.
No, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So where can people find you and get hold of you then, Danny?
The easiest place is probably .com. So Danny, DannyPod.com. And that's got all my little socials, current podcasts, archive podcasts, and even some books if you're a reader.
Well, wow. That's quick and easy. Danny Pod.
Pretty straightforward, chap.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for speaking to me. Like I said, you can find Pods Like Us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, and we're available through podslikeus@gmail.com. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening, and hope you listen again to another episode of Pods Like Us.